Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
We bring in the incomparable, and he can really make anything work, Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the Steelers. My first question is why?
That's the question everybody has. Sounds like a philosophy final. Just that's the test. Why?
Look, this is the opening drive. Pickett drives them downfield. They get a field goal out of it. And I remember I looked at everybody and said, now here comes the challenge. I said, he was great with the script. Now they have to improvise. That part didn't go so well.
I felt exactly the same. I might have even used those exact words. That's Pickett on script. And to be honest, I think he looked better than I thought he was going to. I think he looked better on script than Trubisky had. I think there were some plays that were left out on the field, in fact. And that became the theme of the game more than anything. Two different perspectives you got to look at here. It's easy to say, very plain and simple, nobody played well because they only scored 3 points. I'm like, all right, well, by that logic, there's only one team that ever plays well any season. That simply can't be true. As a team collectively, no, they played horribly. I mean, playing poorly like snap to snap is one thing, but they had Mike Tomlin used the word in the press conference today. I don't think he's ever used before. Catastrophic meltdowns on a few plays. Yeah. It was bad. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that. And it happened 3 plays into the game. Trey Norwood, this was Norwood. You hear arguments one way or another. Somebody on 3rd and 10, somebody has to spy Josh Allen. Okay. Minkah Fitzpatrick is probably the best guy to do that. I think the Bills were aware of that. And they ran a deeper post from their end zone in the off chance that Minkah is not in the middle of the field, which he wasn't. So for whatever reason, it seemed everybody on the field assumed then that there would be man coverage on Gabe Davis on the outside.
Right.
Everyone seemed to know that except for Trey Norwood.
Not good.
Who grossly blew coverage. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you get a 98-yard touchdown pass. It really just a horrendous play from a player who knows a lot better than to do that. That doesn't help Kenny Pickett at all. I get it. But Pickett marches the team fairly well. Some miscues later in the drive. They get a field goal in a tough place to kick and a bad day to kick. All right. We can handle this. It's okay. At that point, I don't think Pickett's play went down. I think most of the rest of the team had bad games. I don't use this lightly at all. You know the amount of criticism that I've put on Chase Claypool.
Yes.
That might have been Claypool's worst game.
Yeah.
He was awful. He's got to get it right. I'm not sure what's going on there. The slot adjustment that they're trying to get him to make is just simply not working. And with the way George Pickens is playing, I don't know if Calvin Austin, if they want him to play the slot and that's their plan, I don't think Claypool is going to get on the field. If that's really what they want to do, he's not a slot receiver and it's just not working. Deontay Johnson had a bad game. I have more faith in Johnson to be able to pick that up and get it right for next week than I do Claypool. But when your two primary receivers, by and large are having really bad games, you're going to struggle. They really did not want to get Pat Freiermuth involved in the passing game a whole lot. We've seen that a couple times. Eventually, he got George Pickens involved, who showed yet again the star quality that he has. There's no excuse for them not getting him the ball 10-plus times every game anymore. It didn't happen early enough. And once again, though, the real problem top to bottom was the continuous belief and effort that Najee Harris is going to make hay running the ball. It just doesn't happen to the point where it's not even a question anymore. It's plain and obvious. Jalen Warren is the better running back of the two. And if that's a problem with your evaluation and your scouting, okay, you might have to just kind of eat this one, because the undrafted rookie is snap to snap playing a lot better than that, than the first round pick is. If Najee is hurt, okay, I would argue that your eyes are bringing you to the hole, not the feet, and Najee isn't seeing it, healthy foot or not. He doesn't see it. If he doesn't trust it, he shouldn't be playing. It's as simple as that. He's not getting any better, and it was bad. He had a lot of bad runs in this game. When you are relying on that, when you are planning your offensive game plan is to have your running back carry the ball that often, and it's clear that it isn't working against a great defensive team, you don't really have much left except to take your whooping and drive home. And that's basically what happened. The Steelers didn't compete in this game beyond the first drive. They were in a low leverage situation for most of the game. So I don't want to put a whole lot of optimism into Pickett's performance, but if you're going to take anything away from this game, the Pickens to Pickett, the Pickett to Pickens combination worked well for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And that might be the only optimistic thing that came out of this game.
When you're dealing with a small margin for error, the precision that you need to play with, under the old Bill Belichick thing, do your job. That means all 11 people have to be precise in every play. That's a lot of pressure, because they can't make up for it because they don't have the margin of error that they used to have.
I'd agree with that completely, to the point where I would say they needed to be at that level to compete with a team that's as strong top to bottom as the Bills are. And the level that they brought, I don't think would have beat any team in the NFL yesterday on Sunday. It was a horrendous performance, to the point where I don't think we've ever seen Mike Tomlin as indignant at the microphone after the game. And he was basically the same today too. He's not happy. He shouldn't be happy. And he's right. This is not something that's going to be fixed in a day. They've got a lot of work they need to do. A lot of things need to get fixed very quickly. And this team had an uphill battle in front of it from training camp. Yeah. And they've lost their best player. They've already made the quarterback change. They're getting a very underwhelming effort from their two top receivers. Offensively, the offensive line, I think, is stepping forward in a better direction. It's not a great unit, but it looks a lot better than it did in the preseason. But overall, the entire offense is a D minus to an F right now. And you're putting a rookie quarterback previously against one of the best defenses in the game. Next week, you're going up against one of the best defensive coaches in the game. This is, it's not even trial by fire. I mean, it's above that. And they need a lot of guys to help bolster something to at least not get them embarrassed on the field. And that's a full possibility right now. We really don't know what direction this is going to go in anymore. And it's just a weird place to be.
Yeah, it is a weird place to be. And it has not helped. You know, Kurt, you mentioned, obviously, you referenced Watt being out. Pickens is going to be a terrific player for them. Losing Freiermuth did not help Kenny at all in that game. Because to me, the only two dependable guys he has in the passing game are Freiermuth and Pickens. You know, maybe Harris to a point, but that's it. And nobody else in that passing game is reliable, including his offensive line and the other two receivers.
Yeah, through five games, impossible to argue with that. Refresh me. Freiermuth went down later in the game.
He did.
They only gave him two targets. What I would say is that security blanket does need to be there. That's going to hurt him over four games. Yeah. And for however long Freiermuth is out, that will be a problem. And it's considering kind of the way the winds are blowing in the league right now, concussions are something they're really going to pay attention to. Not that they shouldn't have before, and I'm not going to get into that, but Freiermuth was pretty bad. That was a nasty hit.
Yeah, it was.
You hope he's okay. He's had a couple of these. We'll see how long he's going to be out, but that's a problem now too. You don't have Freiermuth. Now Zach Gentry is your primary tight end. with two underperforming wide receivers, one of which you just gave a contract extension to, and the other one still is cheap for two more years, you're not seeing the motivation out of either of them. And there might be, you know, that might be part of the reason why. So what Pickett is going to do to generate offense, I hate to say it, but it might just be above his physical capabilities right now. And I'm not sure what they're going to do, but seems to me we already know what they're going to do, which is continue to run the ball with a running back who's averaging 3.3 a carry.
This is a game, Neil, where it's going to tell me a lot about where the Steeler defense happens to be. Because I don't care what anybody's the Tampa Bay offense has been no better than okay so far. And Brady, I know Brady's coming off a 300-plus game, but he's been for his standard, he's been no better than okay to this point. To me, it's going to tell us a lot about where the Steeler defense is, because if Tampa Bay goes out and they clear 30 points, there's, you know, obviously Watt's not there, but that's a gigantic problem because Tampa Bay offensively has done enough to be 3-2, but they are not a dominating offensive team.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things with that. Brady at 300 yards is probably status quo. You expect that. Pickett just threw for 300 yards. It doesn't necessarily mean that things worked. You know, it's a byproduct of what they had to do, trailing by five touchdowns for a good chunk of the game. I hate to use the cliche, but if we've ever seen a get right opportunity for a team led by Tom Brady, this is it. He's ripped the Steelers apart. I don't know how many times in his career. Things are not going well in Tampa Bay. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to get into whatever is happening with Tom Brady off the field. I can't stand that stuff, but
neither can I.
Something is not working overall. Yeah. Call that whatever you want.
Agreed.
This is a great opportunity, though, because this defense is staggering. How it's even upright right now is a question. You had a guy wearing number 16 playing cornerback in the fourth quarter of that game. I didn't even know he was on the team. It's stuff like that isn't helping a defense that's already depleted, already knocked down.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward was, in my opinion anyway, the only player on defense who had a game above average. Yeah. And Cam was really good for what Cam was asked to do. Mm-hmm. Cam was really good. Nobody else played well around him.
Right.
And they got shredded. I mean, think of it this way. They had two three-and-outs for the Bills offense to end that game. Two consecutive three-and-outs. They knelt down three times.
Yeah.
On top of that, they ran a total of 54 plays. They gained 552 yards on 54 plays, and they scored 38 points. If you take out the kneel down / three and outs at the end, when obviously it's long over, they almost scored a point a play.
Yeah.
And that's like a historic level game. I mean, the Steelers, what that basically means is the Steelers defense did next to nothing to prevent Buffalo from doing whatever it wanted to do the entire game. That's a really hard game to come back from. Yeah. Now, it's funny. We were talking off air. I remember talking to you back in 2013. After the Patriots boat raced the Steelers, was that like 57-30 or something like that?
Yes.
The Steelers got two touchdowns in the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That game was on that level. Somehow, the Steelers started a three-game winning streak after that and then won six out of their final eight. I don't think this team can do that. Yeah. they're in significant trouble, and it just kind of goes along with what I feared going into this season was really – their offense is going to struggle for a while. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a problem of with lots of faces. Lots of things are going to be wrong with this offense right away. At the end of the day, though, their defense is really thin. And one injury to one key player, hint, hint, and the whole thing is going to fall apart. And that's where they are now. They don't have any playmakers. They don't have anybody that's making a difference, that's imposing anything upon an opposing offense, with the exception of Cam Hayward, and Hayward hasn't even been at his absolute best. I don't know how much he's going to have week to week, but nobody else is doing anything, and they've made their bed. This is where they are.
Neil, always a pleasure. Thanks for the uplifting conversation. I, you know.
it's really hard. I honestly know. I don't know if we've ever felt it this.
No.
Desolate. See, you know,
I mean, you referenced the Patriot thing, which was a bad game in 2013, and you and I were on the show talking about it. But they had different personnel back then.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that's the difference. Right now, they don't have all the parts in place.
Nope.
And when you don't have all the parts in place, it's a tougher slog.
You learn how the Jets have lived for the better part of the last 30 years. You know, it's just really hard to see how they're able to turn this around at this point.
If you're a Jets season ticket holder over the last 25 years, there are two things that come to mind. You really do love football and the Jets. And number two, you have disposable income. All right, so let's that's who you are. Neil, thanks so much. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.